to That Happens, the podcast for DMs, GMs, and just wanna BMs. I'm your host, Spencer Crittenden, and sitting right here with me is Jeff Davis.
What's up? I'm not actually sitting with Spencer.
Is he doing a bit, or can you not be heard?
Spencer, you're
I can't hear Jeff.
Oh shit.
Oh no.
Hey, I'm unmuted now. Here's the secret. What I've done is an old theatrical device called creating stupid suspense by forgetting to unmute my Zoom. Hello, everybody.
Boy.
Welcome, Happuccinos, and welcome to That Happens, where the happenings are that, and it's all that with a bag of haps. It's a pleasure
to
be here.
Happuccinos. That's what we're calling you. And if you don't like it, too bad, Happuccinos.
Yeah, we found that Habsburgs as a nickname sounded a little bit too white European, kind of dominant. Sorry, is my toilet exploding?
Oh boy! Okay.
I almost had to go deal with a plumbing disaster, but I think it's okay. Hey Spencer, how come I can only see the bridge of your nose and upward, and then most of your ceiling?
Oh, I don't know, Jeff. I guess my camera must be broken. I can't. Okay. There's no way to move that, is there some way to adjust the camera?
No, probably not. I had a hard time unmuting my microphone. I feel like you're hiding something, Spencer. When people...
No. Okay.
I feel like there's some sort of secret that you're concealing.
No, it's fine. It's just the camera's broken. Let me see if I can adjust this. Hold on.
Well, I'm going to have a frenette while you do that. Oh,
there we go. Okay.
Now,
see, nothing to hide.
Now my suspicions have been confirmed. Spencer is certainly hiding something.
If you're listening to the podcast, everything's normal. There's nothing. You're just seeing me and me alone, you know?
Mm-hmm. And also, why even watch it? It's the same price. You can listen to it and miss out on these hilarious sight gags, but you're not losing that on anything, really. All you're missing is Spencer with a T-shirt over his face, like some sort of Middle Eastern burqa affair going on. Because do you have like a pimple, or do you have what's going on?
I don't even know what you're talking about. This is just how I look, and this is how I always look. This is how I wear my shirt with my giant head.
I want to make a guess. I think you have shaved your facial hair into some sort of exotic mixologist, like handlebar mustache situation, and you're going. It's going to be one of the greatest reveals of all time that you have a beautiful curly Q handlebar thing going on.
What a shocking and surprising reveal! I'm so surprised by. Oh my god! I'm so surprised that I'm going to keep doing the rest of the show with my hands to my cheeks in mock agony and frightenedness.
Okay, now I think I know what's going on. I think that what you have is some sort of just Breaking Bad goatee situation. You've got the you've just got a goatee. Have you joined the Mongols? Did you move to Riverside and start selling methamphetamine?
Yeah, no, I moved to Riverside. Oh no. No, okay. So I have, I got a goatee going on.
Wait, show me. Okay, so you're pretty well shaved. Not totally shaved. You didn't go full on clean shaven like I have, but you have what we can refer to as a proper Van Dyke, I think we call that, right?
I don't know. I fucked up shaving, Jeff. I fucked up. I went to shave. I was like, you know, it's time for some self-care. This beard is getting too shaggy, too long. Let's trim it up, make it look nice. I've done this before. I've trimmed it. It looks nice. It was a fun time by all. So I go and I'm like coming down the sideburn kind of area, and it's like buzz, and I'm like, wait a second. And I don't have my, what do you call it, like the head attached to it. So it's just like the full straight down, you know, it's like right to the cheek. It's not like the length kind of attachment. And I was like, oh no. And I didn't know what to do, and so I had to kind of like salvage it into this goatee because I don't know what else I could have done.
So you took a big divot out of the right side of your face and had to kind of finish the job.
Yeah, so I mean, maybe it would have been cooler just to keep that just that couch there, but yeah, no, I switched up to a goatee, and I am happily awaiting the time at which I can have a beard again. I mean, it is growing back. I feel like by this time next week, it might kind of look some semblance of normal or something, but who knows? It's just, it's thin as all, you know, it's not thick.
I think you might want to hang on to this. And when studios and networks start opening up production again, like in a major way, you'll have a very successful career as biker henchman number three.
Yeah, exactly. I look like some sort of weird principal, you know, or like,
I mean, because you have your spectacles on, you do look like a social studies teacher, but that maybe had just recently been divorced, and you just had your Mazda Miata got a new paint job on it, and now it's time to really go hit the local taverns and cruise for divorcees.
Cruise for bruise, baby. What if I took off my glasses? What does this look like? Ugh, I hate that. That looks awful. This is why you wear glasses. No.
Well, I mean, no, it's just you look different because your eyes are a different shape when you take your glasses off. But you look fantastic. Look right into the camera. Don't look at yourself. Like, look into the camera.
Yeah.
Look at me.
Oh, okay. Oh, and I got to talk to keep the camera on me.
Spencer, I got to tell you this. You're beautiful. Look at those big brown eyes.
They're tiny. That's one of the worst things. Like, one of the things I'm most self-conscious about is my tiny beady eyes. They make me look like a side character. I say this to people. I got side character eyes. I got the eyes of a guy who just owns a store in the neighborhood, you know?
Well, but you know what? Now that you've shaved off the beard and your face is smaller because the beard adds, you know, like area to your face, of course your eyes are going to look smaller in comparison to the size of the head that you're giving us. Sorry, that came out wrong. I love when Spencer gives us larger head. Yeah. Right now he's giving us much less head than I'm used to, and I'm as surprised as anybody.
I get what you mean. I feel like there's, you know, obviously the beard kind of adds volume, but it's kind of like a hidden volume where it's like a mystery curtain. It's like, oh, what's going on behind there? But when my beard is shaved, it's like, oh, he's just got a big fat head, just this big egg-shaped fat guy head. Whereas with the beard, it's like, oh, man, there's a guy with a beard, you know?
There's a guy with a big fat egg-shaped head with a wig on the bottom of it.
Yeah,
I mean, do you think that the wearing of a, I mean, again, I don't wear a beard because I think I've spoken of before, I have very patchy, inconsistent, very weaselly facial hair. I grow some very unconvincing mutton chops, a used car salesman's mustache. I get the little jazz musician trash kind of situation, and then this. I look like Ron Moody from Oliver, and I'm going to pick a pocket or two. So it's not good. But do you think that you, as someone who can grow a sexy, luxuriant beard as you do, is it a desire to conceal yourself? Is there an anonymity kind of thing going on? Like or do you just think that you look better all around? But it's not you're not concealing something.
Yeah, I mean, I think that most, probably not all men, but I think most men kind of who grow beards do it for some sort of insecurity. Like, it's either they don't like the shape of their chin, and if they have, like, if they kind of have a beard, and depending on how they shape it, they can kind of, like, give themselves a chin where they might not have a chin, or, like, turn a double chin into a single chin or something. Like, that was a big part of it for me, is that I just feel so fat where it looks like it's kind of hidden with a beard going on. But also, I don't know, early in the pandemic, I went full bald. Well, not bald, but, you know, facial baldness. And my upper lip was very weak looking. It looked really bad. I remember my dad always used to have a mustache, and he shaved it one day, and he just looked shitty. Like, he would just look like a worse person. Like, he had this warmth with a mustache that without the mustache, he just looked very, what do you call it, like sharp and angular and severe, and it was just upsetting. Like, it always sucked. So I feel like I have a kind of some of that when I've not had a mustache. But, you know, you could probably have, or I've heard tell of people having mustaches without beards. So, I mean, I might be able to pull that off, but I don't think I need something.
I say give that a try, and then we'll see if you look like a sexy Tom Selleck and you can start selling me reverse home mortgages. My dad, growing up, he never had facial hair. He was always clean shaven. And then when I was on the road with my mother, and it was mostly just she and I on the road, traveling with the King and I, a national tour company, I suspect, I mean, I was only 10 years old at the time, but I suspected that they were probably going to get divorced when I came home. Like, things were not all good in the home front. And my dad came out and visited us in Cincinnati, Ohio, and he had a mustache, just the mustache. So he looked like the Marlboro Man. He looked like, you know, like Sam Elliott. No, he didn't have the full Sam Elliott, you know, Yosemite Sam situation. But he had, like, I would go, like, he was Tom Selleck-y. And my dad was a very good-looking gentleman, but with the mustache, it was alarming. I didn't like it because he looked like a guy that might be like the wheel man for a bank job. Like, he looked too much like a 70s charming, like culprit. And I didn't like it at all. But then again, I think it's what you're used to growing up. I think that
definitely
girlfriends I've dated that really wish I would ever get a mustache or a beard is because dad or grandpa or uncle Creepy had a fucking mustache that they enjoyed. Speaking of Uncle Creepy, let's check in with Kevin Day and the COVID update.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, Kevin. Kevin, you've always had just kind of a fairly non-committal, like not too severe bearded mustache situation going on.
Yeah, if I don't, people think I'm 12. Like, it's a blessing and a curse at the same time. Like, if I shave this off, I literally will get carded buying beer, and I'm 44.
Man, I got to see that. That looks good. That sounds good. Yeah, I get what you mean. You do have youthful features.
I've always thought when I've seen Kevin in person that he was actually standing on the shoulders of some smaller child and he was trying to get into a speakeasy with a big overcoat over the both of them.
Well, part of that is, he wears baggy clothes and he has very poor limb control, so it kind of lends that impression.
Yeah, he kind of wobbles. It's a lot of wobbling. Kevin, give us a COVID update, please. For new time listeners, Kevin has had symptoms since last year.
Thanksgiving.
Oh boy.
Because there are some people that get over it in a few days, and other people. Mm-hmm. And Kevin was being very healthy, very safe. He wasn't interacting with the public.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, we don't know.
Still, he's been running. How I got it.
Yes, he's been running an adult senior citizen human trafficking ring for a long time, and that's probably where he was exposed to it. Any symptoms? Are you still smelling phantom cigarettes?
Still smelling phantom cigarettes, still tired a lot, but other than that, I'm feeling much better now. Hoping to get the vaccine soon, too, so I don't ever have to worry about catching this again. But yeah, it's just occasional whiff of cigarette smoke. That's so bizarre.
That's so weird. What's your girlfriend's name?
Ariel.
Ariel, are you sure that she's just not blowing smoke underneath your bedroom door and she's trying to gaslight you and make you think that you still have COVID and she's running some horrible scheme on you?
I wouldn't put it past her, but no, it's happened when I've been completely alone, totally alone. It's happened.
Okay.
I've definitely heard that a possible COVID symptom is that lights will flicker in your house.
Yes. Yeah, sometimes the gaslighting goes a little up, a little down, and you hear noises from the attic. Kevin has sent us, Spencer, on the chat on our Zoom here, from the Discord. Spencer, somebody says, I don't have a name for this person. Maybe they want to be anonymous. Spencer truly does have beautiful eyes, and I agree with that.
Okay, let's take it down a notch.
The next person, no, let it wash over you, Spencer. Enjoy the moment. This is Spencer's favorite part of the podcast, where strangers like him. someone else said, just wanted to say hell yes to the goatee. So you got one like on your TripAdvisor goatee situation.
Sure.
Somebody else said, and this is a little alarming, this is all fodder for my Spencer Jeff fanfic. Certainly what the world needs right now is some fucking hot Spencer on Jeff fanfic action. Will they? Yes, they will. There's not even a won't they. They will.
Will they? It's kind of a will they situation.
And then someone say to Jeff segue from Uncle Creepy to Kevin. Yes, I did. That was a cheap shot, Kevin, and I apologize for that. But then again, it's a comedy podcast, and low-hanging fruit is kind of the fruit that I deal in. That's my fruit cart, is fruit picked from the bottom of every tree.
I kind of want to circle back to, like, you were saying that, like, the women that you dated that wanted you to have a mustache thought that it reminded them of Uncle Creepy. So the idea of, like, oh, man, I'm horny for this Uncle Creepy. He might – who knows how he's related to this family, okay. But I got to get that.
I just think that there's men in children's lives that had facial hair that bring back warm, fuzzy – memories, maybe some not so warm fuzzy, maybe some awful memories, but no, I think it's usually like also 100%, not 9 out of 10, not 98 out of 100, 100 out of 100 women. Oh, have I dated 100 women? Well, dating might be a strong word, but let's just say girlfriends. Boy. Let's just say the girlfriends that I've had, the close relationships, 100% of them can't wait for my hair to go fully gray. They want me to be salt and peppery, and they want me, you know, like, and one day that I will. My father turned gray when he was, like, in his mid-30s. He was salt and pepper George Clooney all the way, like in his mid-30s. And he was 40 years old, 41, I think 40, when I was born. So my father always had gray hair. I'm surprised to learn that it's getting gray, and you can see it coming in there. There's some sparklers in there.
Sure.
But at age 47, I'm surprised that I'm not completely like silver, because my father was, and I think that the other men on that side of the family were all gray haired by this time. But I'd like to give a shout out right now. I'd like to raise a toast. I'm going to pour the last bit of my Fernet Branca because I'm down to the dreg here. I won't say this is the most woke thing I've ever said. It certainly is not the most progressive, but I would like to raise a glass to daddy issues, because if it weren't for daddy issues, I don't know that I would have had a dating life for the last 20 years. I think it's absolutely fantastic that some women in the world want a guy to look like an old man, because it's going to happen, and it's happening to me, and it's fantastic. There are women that are still quite a bit younger than me. And not like in a creepy way. Like they have to be well into their 30s. I'm not one of those guys that wants to date a 19-year-old. But I once made out with a girl at a party. Have I told this story? She was.
I don't know.
She's the daughter of a famous British rock and roller. I'm not going to say who it is, but a famous band. I didn't know this at the time. We kissed, and then like she kind of kissed me, and very good-looking gal, and quite young. And, you know, like maybe like early 20s. And I was probably just like late 30s. And she kissed me for a second and then pushes me away. And she goes, oh, my God, all my friends tell me I've got old man issues. And I kissed her again. And then I said, I'm going to file that under I in my filing cabinet for her. I can live with that. So, yeah. Remember kissing people, Spencer? Do you remember going out and just like meeting somebody? I mean, maybe I'm more extroverted.
It's basically
than you are.
Never happened to me ever in my life. But then, you know, I'm not handsome like you. You're a fucking fox.
I'm looking at these beautiful almond eyes and the sexy new goatee and the beautiful contours of your jaw. Again, the fanfic is going to be fucking roaring in.
Sure.
The slash artwork. Please send all of your filthy slash Spencer on Jeff artwork to thathappenspod.com.
At gmail.com. We'll rate it on the show, and you know, maybe we could give a prize to the highest placing.
Oh, hell yeah. I support that all the way. not even on the what about on the Harmon tour, the documentary tour? Weren't you kind of like, didn't you hook up with a gal on the road or no? Am I making
no,
that
I'm
up?
Sure you're thinking of Dustin, the disgraced Dustin.
I think you'll be surprised to learn, Spencer, I'm almost never thinking of Dustin.
That's not that, you and I guy. Both know that's not true. This you love dude. You love him. Look, and if you want to send any Jeff Dustin slash fic, that could be good too. Oh,
Yes.
But no, I gray hair looks good. The problem with gray hair is that it's usually on really old people, you know? But like, if you take the oldness away, it's like gray hair just looks nice. Like, it's a cool color of hair to be. You know, there's like a new trend where like, young people sometimes dye their hair kind of like a more gray. Like, that almost always looks good, you know? It's like a good look.
Yeah. I was expecting at this point to look like the Trivago commercial guy. You know, the guy that never wears a belt, but a shirt is tucked in, and he's got that salt and pepper hair. Who's the Dirty Jobs guy?
Mike Rowe.
Like, one day I just want to wake up and just have proper George Clooney salt and pepper hair, so I can start going out on auditions for Hot Dad. Right now, I look like. What category would I even go out for? Failed improviser.
You're like unemployed. A cool guy type. Yes. You know, you're just like, you're a guy. You're like one of these guys. But you don't read as dad. You just read as like a guy.
Right. Uncle Creepy. I could certainly play Uncle Creepy.
You should be, your stage name should be Uncle Creepy.
We've talked about on Harmontown in the past about Sam Christensen, the acting teacher, who would help you find essentially who you are and come up with these statements of essence. And there, you in the class, you would write down anonymously on 3x5 cards while somebody told a story, and you would write down essences. And sometimes it would be like, describe them as something natural, like a natural feature, like a waterfall or a cliff, a craggy, you know, rock or whatever, or an architectural feature. And it's just like kind of just describe people. And then when you go home with these cards, you're like, why do people keep calling me either a mouse or a lion? That seems weird. But then down the road, you find out, oh, there's a reason why I'm only getting mice and lions, because there's some, you know, there's a dichotomy to me or whatever the hell. There was one guy at the end of the class, he had to read some of the essences that he didn't pick. And one of them is one that I wrote. And he was this, I would say mid-50s guy. I'm trying to think of an actor that like kind of looked like Ernest Borgnine, but like without the upkeep. But he had a very good character actor style to him. He could work forever in all sorts of roles. And I wrote this down anonymously, and not to be an asshole, Uncle Creepy. And I thought that he would get a chuckle out of that. He hated it. He did not like hearing that. And then all the people in the room, when he fought Uncle Creepy, they go, oh, you
no,
are
that's
Uncle
you.
Creepy.
Yeah, you're Uncle Creepy. Creepy.
Yeah. Yeah. So when
I
my niece met
Barbershop Egg.
Barber shopping. When my niece Maddox was born, she was born in. She was adopted, so that was an adoptive mother giving birth in Palm Springs, California. So we were all down there for a couple days waiting for the delivery to happen, and of course I was out on my own, haunting the local taverns and drinking too much at various Mexican restaurants and bars. And I came back to the hospital when Maddox had just come out of the oven, and it was like early in the morning, like 2, 3 a.m. No. I think the bars had just closed, so closer to midnight. And I'm wearing a New York Dolls shirt, like a pea coat, you know, no, like kind of stubbly, 3 days, no shave. And my hair was back in the day when I thought I was a rocker. And I held this beautiful, perfect little baby girl in my arms. And I smell like just margaritas. I felt like I was instantly like giving her what happens right after fetal alcohol syndrome. I just like postnatal alcohol syndrome by getting a contact buzz off of Uncle Jeff. But she had been crying, and I picked her up and I held her. I think there's video of this online somewhere. And she stopped crying, and I was like, "Hello, Maddox. Uncle Creepy's here." And so she still calls me Uncle Creepy because that's who I am. See, you can embrace your essences. You have to learn to embrace who you are.
Yeah, I really, I really regret not doing one of those classes just because it seems so cool to get your essences. I mean, you know, you talked about that on Harmontown in the past and stuff.
Okay, Kevin, did you write this note that Discord suggests, or some of your culling this off of. Someone suggests your type is washed Gene Rayburn.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Now, I want. Can you tell me who said that? Give me a first name of who wrote that.
Because maybe give us your address, too, because we might have to.
And last four of their social.
Their name is KSSE.
And can you send us a gun? Can you buy us some guns? Okay,
here's the thing, everybody. Discord, can everybody keep a secret? I'm going to right after this podcast, I'm going. No, the person. This is too much of a coincidence. KSSE.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What's happening? No one understands what's going on in your head. I'm sure crazy.
I don't either. This sounds like. Like some Matrix shit. I'm going to a surprise party after this. And my friend is having a surprise birthday party, and his wife is throwing him the party. And the theme... Am I going to fuck the whole thing up? He's not watching this right now. If he's watching it, turn off the thing right now. Go away. I am going to be Gene Rayburn, and the surprise party is a Match Game 75 themed party because that's his favorite show. And after this, I have to put on my cheesiest, most 70s suit, and I'm going to be Gene Rayburn. That's too weird that somebody knows that. Either they're going to the party or this is the birthday boy himself who's basically saying, the jig is up. That's so weird.
Man, going to a party, huh? Is it safe?
No. No. Of course, it'll be very socially distanced. The older people are going to be well vaccinated, and we'll all be keeping quite a distance.
Right. It's safe for you because you already had it.
I'm assuming that I do. I tried to get the antibody thing, but then I had to make an appointment and drive to Beverly Hills, and that was like, I'd rather die. I'd rather have COVID and smell cigarettes secretly, even though it's actually my girlfriend gaslighting me and trying to make me crazy.
Man, yeah, no, going to Beverly Hills sucks. If you come to L.A., try to go to Beverly Hills. Just try. Mm-hmm. You'll see.
Driving there's east to west. There. No, I mean, well, no, there's rich assholes that don't drive good. Mm-hmm. And there's people like me who don't talk good. I love my dentist. She's awesome, and the people that work there are the greatest. And it's at that 9,000 block on Sunset Boulevard with the big medical building there. Mm-hmm. And it's very fancy, and you're sitting in a dentist chair, and the view is spectacular, and you can see where rich people live. Like just huge mansions and stuff while you're getting your teeth scraped. And but the drive there, when I come back home, I want to just curl up into a fetal position and just drink because I hate driving through West Hollywood and Beverly Hills. Terrible, terrible bullshit.
Yeah.
There's people that like that walk around with dogs and purses. I don't like that.
I don't like a purse-sized dog. I think the smaller the dog, you know, and I don't hate dogs or anything. Dogs are nice, but smaller dogs I don't like as much as like a larger dog. Even though I probably would own a smaller dog just for practicality.
How do you feel about a dog-sized purse?
That's too big. Especially if it's like a Great Dane-sized purse. Like that's, what are you doing?
But you could put like six purse-sized dogs in a dog-sized purse. I don't know. Spencer, did we agree on? I think we did. I think Kevin and Spencer and I came to an agreement on the spelling of Happuccinos, our current and possibly forever nickname for That Happens listeners. It's HAPPA Chinos, right?
Yeah, that's why we put that as the title of the episode because it's like, yeah, it might be weird to spell it. Also, it's not like how you might imagine it was spelled, so it was a real stroke of genius to have the episode title tell you exactly how it's spelled for this name that you must be called. And if anyone asks, like, do you listen to That Happens, you must respond, well, I'm a Happuccino, if that's what you're asking. So Spencer, that's kind of the calling card.
Can I ask you a personal question, Spencer, while we're doing this?
Please.
The sack of debris over your right shoulder—that is that the same exact statue of possibly paper towels and paper bags, or is this an ever-changing, like like cairn. What's the word where you put stack rocks and you leave it as a marker?
Yeah. Yeah. That sack is not ever changing. We could go through it. I'm sure it's like full of rags or something. But the sack is in front of my paper towels. The thing is, I have these paper towels because my cat throws up because she has inflammatory bowel disease and might end up dying from it. Who knows? But so she throws up. And so basically all I use the paper towels for is to clean up her vomit. She just threw up the other day when I was in a meeting, in a Hollywood meeting, a Zoom meeting, and I had to hide my camera while I ran over and cleaned it up.
What's your cat's name again? I forget.
My cat is named Jason, and she is a girl, so I call her Jason. And here's the story about that. Oh boy, is it a gripping tale! And once I'm done telling it, you'll be all like, "Oh man, I'm glad he told this story." I used to, this was before before iPhones and also early iPhones, before like Notes app became a widely used thing. I want to say Notes app kind of existed on iPhones back then. It was like 3G or whatever. But it was really like right at the beginning of, you know, using apps for utilities. And I used to carry around a Moleskine notebook for all my great ideas, you know, because if you don't have a pen and pencil, what are you going to do? Again, now you can use a Notes app, just punch it in there, and you know, there you go. But before that, it's like, oh boy. And so, like, I was a magic nerd, Magic the Gathering, so I would write down, like, ideas for magic decks and all sorts of stuff. And sometimes I would sketch and draw, or, you know, D&D ideas, because I was a DM. And so I would write down all of my brilliant ideas. And one day, I wrote down a cat named Jason. And then I eventually got Jason from my friend who had to move to Hawaii because she joined the Navy and she had to get rid of her cats. And so she gave me her cat, and her cat was named Orange Cat. And I was like, you can't be calling a cat Orange Cat. Apologies to anyone who has a cat named Orange Cat, you know, do whatever the fuck you want. But, and so I was like, wait a second, I wrote this down once, a cat named Jason. But, you know, she was a girl. So I was like, well, who cares? You know, like, it's not like these names are fake. It's all made up. You know, it doesn't matter. No one's going to like bully her. So I call her Jason, and it's a better name than Orange Cat. And wasn't that a good story?
It's a fantastic story. I wish it had like a musical soundtrack to it. Like I think it needs like a kind of Dimitri Tomkin kind of string situation underneath it. It's a beautiful story. See, I'm not a cat person, not because I don't like cats. I just don't want to own a cat. I can chill out with somebody else's cat, and I get mildly allergic, but that's no big deal. I've had girlfriends with cats that I quite adored. Church's cat, one of the best cats of all time. She will stab you, and McQueen will try to kill you. McQueen will leave you battered and bruised and bloodied, but you still you forgive McQueen. It's an abusive relationship hanging out with Church's cat. But
a lot of cats are like that.
Yeah. But I wish I'd had a puppy or a dog or rescue this whole quarantine thing. Mm-hmm. But my fear was the moment I fall in love with my new dog, I'm going to be back on the road again and have to like basically have to have somebody else take my dog from me because I'm always gone. So I was walking up the street, actually right as I came in the house before we got ready for this, there is a little Springer Spaniel pup, maybe about 1 year old, beautiful, black and liver and white. There's a name for that. I forget what it's called, like a three-colored Springer. And I grew up with Springer Spaniel, so I adore them. This dog, Rosie, is the most beautiful dog in the world, and it makes me want to cry. Because if I had a dog like that, I would be walking that dog 3 times a day, and just that would be my best friend, and then I'd be terrified that I'd ever have to leave.
Yeah,
you know, when the blast shields go back up and we're allowed to, you know, go somewhere.
Yeah, I always felt super, super guilty anytime. I mean, and this is just for my cat. Like when I would have to go to work and I would be like, man, this is a real bummer. I don't think she cared that much, you know, or whatever. But yeah, definitely like with dogs, like they hate it so much when you got to like leave the house. It just sucks. It's really hard to deal with the, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of feel the same way about pets as I feel about children. I like them, but I like other people's cats. I like other people's children. I love, like, my neighbors have the cutest, coolest kids. They put artwork, my neighbor John's daughter makes me beautiful little refrigerator art, like watercolors, and she made me a shamrock for St. Patty's Day, and she made me a heart for Valentine's Day, and it's like, I think I'm an eternal uncle. I think the ship has sailed of me being a father, unless I fall in love with a woman that has children already. I think I would be a delightful stepdad. I think I'd be great at that. I'd show them how to drink too much. No, I. But I really enjoy other people's pets and children. So I can, whenever there's poop, I get to leave. I don't have to pick up the dog's poop, and I've never changed a diaper. It's terrible. Hey, Spencer, I think we must talk about the fact that our friend Jason, is it Jason Smith?
From
Starburns Audio. I only know him as Jason. That's really awful. I believe it's Jason Smith. He's worked for Starburns Audio, that was in charge of Harmontown's audio and loads of other great podcasts. And Spencer and I both worked there for a long time. And he was a very, very good dude that produced our advertising stuff. He was like all the fun ads that Spencer and I used to make. And we're going to try to keep that going with this, but make them fun and not awful for you people. Because the ads are the worst part of most podcasts. But Jason was the person that helped us make money and brought in the advertising. And he passed away a couple days ago of a heart attack. And it shocked everybody. And to anybody out there in the Starburns audio world or just in the podcast world, or if you know him, it's one of those things where somebody that just died, just had a heart attack, and poof.
Yeah.
I don't know him well enough to really eulogize him in a way that he probably deserves, but I can tell you that having known him, he was a very cool guy and a very hard worker for us and doing a job that I don't really understand. I don't know how you try to monetize white people talking into microphones and making that a lucrative enterprise. But he did that for not just white people. He did it for all sorts of people. So to Jason and everyone that knows him and knew him and loved him, cheers to you, buddy.
Yeah, and I wasn't laughing because his death is funny. I was laughing because right as Jeff started talking, Kevin says, I don't know how much of this is public yet. So it was a very funny thing to have happened. But, you know, I'm sure it's fine. You know,
no. Well, then if we want to edit this all out, then fine. Then we can. But I'm saying that a friend of ours died, and that, well, why can't we say that?
I think it's probably fine.
If I'm the first person to say that I miss somebody that I sort of knew and that was always a very right fellow and a good person that has been a coworker of ours for a long time. Here I am to tell you, hear ye. Jason passed away and he was a cool dude. So there's that. I don't think that's going to be a real TMZ fodder.
Yeah, no, I think it's more just about, letting the family control the stuff.
Okay, there's that. I don't know. But look, this podcast drops a few days from now.
I'm sure it's fine.
Okay. Hey, Happuccinos, can we all make a tacit agreement and discord? I want to hear your thoughts. Two things. I need two promises from you right now. Don't talk about Jason until the family has put out a full public statement. Also, don't tell anybody that I'm going to be Gene Rayburn a couple hours from now hosting the match game. I'm still haunted by that. I don't know how anybody knew that was going to happen. That worries me.
I don't think they knew. I mean, maybe they did. That would be really good. But it's just your essence, Jeff.
No. Gene Rayburn was a... Speaking of creepers, Gene Rayburn on Match Game from 70... When did it start? 72? 73? 71? I don't know. So the early, mid-70s, he hosted that game show. And he would absolutely sexually abuse every female on that show. He would come over there and give them unsolicited kisses. And that you could just tell they're like, oh, boy. Like, okay, all right. But he would just come over there and really lay a creepy Gene Rayburn on you. And my promise to the people at this surprise birthday party tonight is that if you don't already have COVID, you're about to get it from me because I had it. And you're going to get it. And we're all going to be smelling cigarette smoke for the rest until next Thanksgiving.
It seems like a really big part of game show hosting is to make women uncomfortable. Like, do you think they interview for that? Be like, oh, so what would you do in this scenario? And they like bring out a woman and they're like, you know, introduce this lady and then just see how creepy they are.
Yeah, exactly. So gross.
Because
Kevin has posted on the chat here, KSSE, today at 5:29 p.m., she says to Kevin, 100% coincidence on the Gene Rayburn thing. Just been watching a lot of High Buzzer. I don't know what that is. Sorry for the mind fuck. Yes, you've gotten inside my brain. Dr. Nutt says, as the hum of Jeff's hair clippers faded, the last of... Oh, gosh, I think we have some real-time fanfic here.
We got some slash fic going, yeah.
Kevin, can you play the D&D intro music while Spencer reads this Dr. Nutt's first paragraph of our
As the hum of Jeff's hair clippers faded, the last of Spencer's beard trimmings drifted like snow into the sink. Is this a good voice? Is this like in the mood?
Perfect.
Spencer's trembling fingers graced his newly bare cheeks as their eyes met in the bathroom mirror. He mouthed the words, "Thank you."
Okay. I don't think I'm the only person that got a partial boner during that. I got a bit of a partial.
I only get partial boners.
Wait.
On the left.
Yeah.
Left. Well.
So you have an agenesis of the boner callosum?
Yeah, the boner callosum. Yeah.
The boner callosum. As the hum of Jeff's clippers faded, so I'm clipping you. So these are my clippers. The last of Spencer's beard trimmings drifted like snow into the sink. I like that. It's good alliteration. Spencer's trembling fingers graced his newly... You're touching yourself as their eyes met. So yeah, you're feeling your new... Okay, this is pretty hot stuff. Thank you, Dr. Nutt.
Dr. Nutt.
Dr.
Nutt. It's time to get in some ads, Jeff. Up next, what we're sponsoring is Dr. Nutt's Nut Cream, baby. Oh, yeah. It's cream for your nuts, and it's cream made of nuts, baby, by Dr. Nutt himself.
Hello, I'm Sam Elliott for the doctor. You know, not all doctors have to take a Hippocratic oath. But I'll tell you what, Dr. Nutt does no harm. In fact, it's the only nut that I endorse. When you reach out for a nut, reach out for the doctor.
Dr. Nutt knows nuts. Disclaimer, Dr. Nutt is not a real doctor. He is also not a real nut.
Right. Dr. Nutt. That worries me. See, now it's we need somebody to turn that into an ad and then monetize it. We're wasting ourselves right now, Spencer. We're wasting ourselves.
Well, let's say that now Dr. Nutt owes us money.
Right.
You know, we did this great ad. We're not going to get paid? Are you kidding me? That's wage theft.
We got about a half hour, I say, before I have to get into Gene Rayburn mode and drunkenly make out with strangers at a game show for a friend of mine.
You love immersion.
Can we play a little D&D? Because I miss it. And I'm looking at my notes from last time, Spencer, and they're pretty sparse. All I have is that much. And... Okay. It says ghost house, hush money gets taxes, Big Copper. So we're hanging with Big Copper. Chester Compression - dog shit. So Chester Compression was the guy that was the dogs that ripped his chest open and we had to fight him off, right?
Yep.
And then we go to a house. There's a gate. There's a well. There's a garden. A door opens, we go up the stairs, and there's spiders. The last word I wrote is spiders. So I think we fought a shit ton of spiders, right? That's all I recall.
That's basically all that happened. Yeah, you went to the house. You're talking, you know, you and Big Copper went to the house. You looked down the well. There wasn't really anything fun going on down there. You went in the house. You went up the stairs. You went in a room. You saw something glinting in the fireplace of that room. And as you approached, you got attacked by a swarm of spiders. Ooh, and then you killed them.
So all the spiders are dead.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's all the recap that we need. We can just dive right in. Or did you have a prepared sexy Spencer Crittenden style recap?
No, I don't have anything prepared. But basically, if I did, it would probably have been basically, you know, that same basic thing. Basic. But yeah, that's all that happened. Not a ton happened.
But I kind of want to hear your voice go up. You know, there were spiders. Like, your voice kind of crescendos.
I could just do that. We could take that as like a wild line, or I could do the whole thing. I mean, either way.
All right, Kevin, give us the music. Only because this is just for me because I enjoy this.
Last time on That Happens, our heroes were healing and licking their wounds from their previous conflict with Chester Compressions. And then they went to the haunted house, for they were going there on an errand from Hush Money to collect back taxes on ghosts. Arriving at the house, Big Copper estimated it to be about 30 feet tall or so, and they noticed there might have been a garden there at some point. There was also a broken wall and a well. After finding nothing in the well, they entered the haunted house, and boy was it. They saw a staircase, a floor, and hallways. Heading up the staircase, our heroes saw a collection of rooms, and going, listening to the first room, heard nothing. And then they opened the door and saw something glinting in the fireplace, at which point a horde of spiders showed up, fighting and stomping and gnashing and spidering. Combat ensued, but they were eventually laid low by our heroes, Fuzzy Knuckles and the Big Copper. And what would happen next? Maybe ghosts or other things. That happens.
Let's give the people what they want, Spencer. You did it.
Oh, they need it. They need it to live. But yeah, let me. What's what were you in? You're in this room.
I gotta get.
It's
my
a
dice.
Good room. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Is there anything else in the room? Are there other doors in this room, or is it the only? Is this just one room along that hallway?
There aren't any other doors. So in the room, there's still you came in the room, or you came to check things out because you thought you saw something in the fireplace. And in the hallway that you're in, there's also two other doors, or there's two other rooms.
I examine the room that we're in. Is there anything of interest in the room that we're currently in, except for a bunch of squashed spiders?
You find a small crystal bauble. It's a flat-bottomed crystal orb that's pleasant to look at and tactily satisfying to hold.
I pick up the crystal bauble.
Oh boy, it's, you know, it looks inert. It looks, you know, like it might be worth a little bit of money, but you know, like you could hawk this to some fool. But otherwise, it's not magical.
I just, you know, stash that in my pocket or in my satchel. And you never know when the crystal bauble will come in handy.
You can weigh it at someone's head.
Yeah, exactly. You never always good to have a bludgeoning item. So I walk out of the room, and are doors to my left and right, or what do I got when I walk out the door?
So exiting the room, you'll see that across the hallway, you know, opposite you, there's two windows. But then to your right, there's going to be two doors that are on the same wall as the door you just exited, you know. So like three kind of rooms all lined up. And then to your left is the staircase and the balcony. And you see the balcony kind of, it forks north and it forks west. So down those hallways, you think there might be some other rooms, you know.
Okay. Well,
so
I just start opening doors. I open the door nearest to the door I've just walked out of.
All right. This room appears to be another dirty, decaying bedroom without furniture. Even viewed from the doorway, it's evident that the floor in here does not look safe. Some of the floorboards are missing, and others are partially dislodged.
Okay. I keep moving. I go to the next door.
All right. The door to this room is locked.
Do I have toolkit?
You know you do. Oh, yeah. You got thieves' tools.
I've got thieves tools. I turn to Big Copper and go, hey, here's a little something I learned in prison, and I try my thieves tools on the door.
You went to prison?
Yeah, I fell asleep at the wheel, knocked over a sign, and everybody in there called me Hollywood, and I was only there for about 52 and a half hours.
Wow, that sounds real. Too real for my blood.
I know, but... Roll
it up. Roll up a thieves tools check.
Fucking nine. Do I add anything to that?
You had your proficiency and your dexterity bonus, so that's I think six. Maybe you had six.
Where's proficiency?
It should be kind of like the top middle of the sheet. Proficiency. Maybe top kind of leftish middle. It's it should just be two.
I don't see the words proficiency on here at all.
I'll find it.
This is podcast gold right now. When a middle-aged comedian tries to figure out how a D&D... proficiency. Yes, there it is. Two.
Okay, you found it, even without my help. I like that. Yes. Okay,
Do I get an inspiration point for knowing how words work on a piece of paper?
No.
Okay, shit.
That's not inspired.
All right, so I think we have 11 total there, you're saying?
Yeah, but then you also had your dexterity bonus, too.
Oh, dexterity, forget about it. I got 18. Oh, no, it's 4, plus 4.
All right, well, there you go. You got it open. As you open the lock, you discover that it was recently oiled. That's fun, right? In the southeast corner of this decayed room lies a man. He is alive, though bound and gagged. He's clad only in undergarments and appears to have no weapons or equipment.
I run over and remove the gag from his mouth.
Okay. He's like, oh boy, thanks man. I don't know what happened, but I'm in here.
Did you see who attacked you? Who brought you in here?
No, I can't remember what happened. But I know it was terrifying.
What's your name?
My name's Ned.
Ned. And Ned. What brought you to this house in the first place, Ned?
Oh boy, I came a coming. I thought it could be a good place to find some old loot, maybe some dirty clothes.
So you're just kind of a houseless gentleman, just kind of wandering the countryside, just looking for found items?
That's right. Houseless. That's me. Unless you count this house, which I was hoping to cop.
But you, you said he's bound? Like he's got bindings on his arms or legs or what?
My man's hogtied. He's got his...
Okay. All right. Well, I take out a dagger and I cut him free.
All right. You slice him right up. Or what?
Well, oh, shit! No! I'm sorry, Ned. I didn't mean it.
You free him. You free him easily. Oh, his ropes are tight, but you know a knife is tighter. Thank you, good sir. Now I don't know why, but I don't really have. You know, I'm only in my undergarments, but I feel like I might know where my stuff is because the last room I was in before I kind of blacked out was over this ways.
Well, lead us there, Ned, and let's go get your stuff back.
Now there's a plan. He kind of goes, what do you call it? He goes out of the room, he goes across the balcony, and then he tries to take the northmost fork of, you know, to the northern wing of the house, if you will. And then he goes into the second door on the left. But if you're following him, roll a dexterity save.
So add
your dex bonus and then plus two.
Plus two?
Yeah.
That's a total of 17.
All right. Yeah. Oh, you go over some floorboards that are creaky, but... Not too creaky.
You're saying I could have fallen. could have fallen through that shit.
The big copper is too heavy, and he does fall through that shit.
What?
He goes down to the ground. Oh, man, he's prone. And he takes one damage.
Okay. I'm okay, baby.
It's like, wow. Remind me, Big Copper, never get to get on a plane with you. Can he come back up the stairs and rejoin us?
Yeah. He'll just have to be careful and kind of step around.
All right, gotcha. And so I try to go into the room that Ned is talking about.
You do that. This room. What?
Spencer, that happens.
That happens.
Thank you.
Podcast.
This we get paid every time Spencer actually says that happens, and he refuses to because he doesn't do it for the money. He does it for the love of the craft.
This room appears to have been used for storage. A large, ill-made oak chest stands under the window, its lid closed. Elsewhere in the room lie three broken wooden chairs, two splintered wooden buckets, and a mildewed sack. Just inside the door is a heap of clothing. These garments have collected little dust, appearing to only have been placed here recently.
Hey, Ned, is this mildewed sack your belongings, your clothing?
Oh, yeah!
I don't want to say mission accomplished, because I came here to collect some taxes from some ghosts, but I will take any small victory. It gives me, as a tabaxi swashbuckler, loads of joy to reunite you with your sad mildewed clothing. And I hand him the mildewed sack.
No, I wasn't wearing the sack. I was wearing some of this clothing.
Inside the sack.
No, the sack is separate. It's just the clothes are
nearby. I'm sorry. I misunderstood. Okay, well, I say, hey, Ned, there's your clothes. Why don't you get dressed, because you're freaking everybody out. And I examine the sack. And if I had a nickel for how many times I've had to examine a sack, I'd be a rich man. I examine the sack, Spencer.
What do you see? You see some rotten fruits as well as some moldy beef fungus. Or, sorry, beef jerky, not beef fungus.
Oh, no. Is it Beef Fungus Bill?
I'm Beef Fungus Ned. That was my lunch. I don't know if you know this, and I don't know why you would, but I'm immune to fungus.
Your name is Beef Fungus Ned?
I mean, that's what they call me.
Okay. I mean, are you cool with that? Do you find that pejorative, or have you learned to embrace that?
I find it helpful because people know when they got beef fungus to hand that on down to me. It's a nice and free meal. It's delicious, okay. Too.
I'd like to apologize to our friend William if you're listening. Hey, Ned, what's in the sack?
Beef? Sounds like there's beef fungus in the sack.
Okay, all right.
Also, some rotten fruit. I can't eat rotten fruit, though. I mean, maybe I could. I wouldn't.
Okay. So Ned, do you have everything you need out of here? Like, this is all your stuff? Are these all your belongings?
I mean, honestly, I had more belongings than this, but I couldn't tell you exactly what they were. Maybe if we find anything cool, I'll be all like, oh, yeah, that's mine.
Okay, well, I look around the room for anything cool.
You find nothing cool.
All right. Well, I take Ned, not by the hand. I put my hand out like as a gesture of like, follow me. And then I realize the more I learn about Ned, the less I want to have physical contact with him. And I walk out of the room and go to the next door, whatever the closest next door is.
Okay, so when you leave the room, you see that there's, to your right, there's kind of like a nook where there's a, maybe like a staircase that's going down. So there's kind of like a staircase at the back of the house. But to your left is another kind of bedroom. Okay, you know, it's like a smaller room.
Okay, I open that door.
Let's see. The rubbish all the room have rubbish. The rubbish here is strewn liberally around the floor. In the center is a single mattress that's been badly torn, from which stuffing protrudes. Under the window sits a large wooden chest. The timbers split and the lid closed.
I go to the chest and see if I can open up the chest.
You find a pile of moldy, ragged clothing. And you can just tell that just by looking at it, it's clothes, even if it weren't moldy or ragged, they'd be shitty clothes. Like you wouldn't be caught dead in these in any era. They were never in fashion. You also find some rotting, pages of notes. They look like handwritten notes that are, they're in common, but they don't really seem like they're referencing anything you understand. They seem like they're referencing chemicals and kind of like you see like a recipe, but it's not like a food recipe.
So what you're saying, we're basically in a Holiday Inn Express.
Yeah.
Also, also one of our sponsors.
Holiday Express.
Go ahead.
Holiday Express. When you want your holiday to be over in a hurry.
Where the fuck were we? I want to say it was in Illinois, Indiana, or Indiana, New Hampshire. That wasn't New Hampshire. It was two states. The city was a state, and the state was a state. We were in Indiana, Illinois, I'm making that up, but that's how stupid it all sounds. And our old shitty tour manager had us staying at a Holiday Inn Express, and my room had no windows. No windows. There was no food. There was no restaurant. And the hairdryer, if you turned it on, the TV turned off. And there was no closet, just a wooden pole along the wall to hang your shit. And downstairs, when you walked into the place, because it was bleak and it was by an overpass. And it turns out the place that we were playing, there were hotels near the venue, but our tour manager at the time, our very ex-tour manager, would put us up at the cheapest shit places so he could save money. And and above the entrance to the Holiday Inn Express, Spencer, it said, relax, it's Holiday Inn. Which I thought was you could read that two ways.
Right.
what did you think was gonna fucking happen? Relax. It's fucking Holiday Inn. And it was bad. And my favorite line, we go down to the tour bus to leave after we just cried in our rooms for a while and sat in the stainless steel toilet in the middle of the room like a prison cell. And we went down and Greg went to our ex-tour manager and said, "Hey, are we on the fucking lam? Why? Are we on the run from the fucking federal law?" Anyway, so what you're describing right now with rooms full of sad mildewed rags and scrawled notes, it really reminds me of being in wherever the fuck we were on the road. And look, I'm so sad about not being able to travel. I miss even that. I would be thrilled to go to the Holiday Inn Express in Texas, Massachusetts, or wherever the fuck we were. All right, so where were we? Does this room have anything else to offer except for sad mildewed clothing and notes?
Yeah, it's basically empty. I mean, you know, maybe you could find someone who could fix up this lovely chest for you, and then you'd have a nice chest. But you know,
I mean, I do know a guy. I know a guy in West Covina, but that's going to have to wait. Okay, we leave that room. What was up with that nook with the weird staircase?
Yeah, okay, so you go into this nook. Along the north wall of this area, a staircase descends to the ground floor of the rear of the house. The treads appear to be loose and perilous. Another staircase along the east wall climbs to the upper level, but the staircase is mostly collapsed. Only the lower few stairs are intact, and there's no easy access to the hole in the ceiling where the staircase used to lead. A heap of rotten timbers lies in the corner. So that's like kind of like there's one that goes down, and then there's one that's like a broken one that goes kind of like up to an attic-y sort of place.
But it looks pretty perilous, and I don't know if I've. I mean, I'm dexterous. Do you think?
Yeah, you could probably climb it, but it wouldn't be like, you know, walking up a staircase. It would be
okay.
Like,
well, climbing. You know, look, I go shaking with my Tabaxi kitty claws, And I go, hey, oh, no, is Big Copper even with me, or is he still on his ass downstairs?
No, he got back up. Yeah, he's up there.
Okay, I say, hey, look, Big Copper, no offense, but this doesn't look like a job for big metal peoples. I climb up the stairs with my feline agility and dexterity and claws.
All right, and you got a climb speed, so we don't even have to roll a check. This is just something you can do as a tabaxi.
Right.
Which, that's fun. A gaping hole in the floor shows where the top of the staircase used to leap before it collapsed. There are grimy cobwebs on the walls and ceiling, and the floor is covered with broken furniture and other rubbish. Several holes in the roof allow dim light to enter this large room that extends the length of the house. Two large sacks lie heaped in the corner.
More sacks.
Oh, yeah. It's Sack City, baby.
It's Sacks and the Kitty. And yes, if that's not an episode title, I've never fucking heard one.
Although that definitely beats out Uncle Creepy by far.
Okay. I hate to say this out loud. I go examine the sacks.
Oh boy. You find a porcelain doll that looks like a sailor, and the doll's eyes are made out of jade pieces. These look like some fine pieces of jade.
Okay. I keep that because I think that's of interest. And also because as a sailor, it just seems like the kind of stuff that's right up my alley. My alley cat. That's all that's in that first sack, or that's all that's in both sacks?
That's all that's worth. That's worth stuff. The rest of it, you guessed it, rotting clothes.
Oh, Jesus Christ! Okay,
horrid squealing of horrid creatures that you've recognized the sound before. These are sturges. Sturges are kind of vampire bat like creatures. They're like halfway between a mosquito and a bat. They're fucking disgusting. They got gross, slick skin, but a little bit of fur that's like matted. They're kind of red in color, and they have like, they don't have feet, but they have multiple pairs of wings, and they're kind of like a long, kind of sharp beak.
And they're how large? What size are they?
Well, I'd say they're tiny. They're you know, maybe a bit bigger than a bat.
Okay, so like a large bat.
Yeah, like a large bat. And there's four of them, and they're beating down on you. They're beating you off.
I take out my rapier and just start slashing and slicing, swashbuckler style.
All right, let's roll initiative. And I guess the Big Popper will go also, even though he's not in the room. Oh, and Ned's here too.
Oh, Ned's with us?
Yeah.
Is Ned dressed, or is he still nude, or did he put on some of his
He's dressed, yeah.
Okay, he finally put some clothes on? Thanks, Ned.
Yeah, he put the less dirty clothes on.
All right. Do you want my roll?
Yeah, what'd you roll?
I rolled a 19, Jackson.
Well, you're going first then. What were you slashing?
I was slashing at the Sturges.
Slash it up. Roll an attack.
Shit. Four. Plus what?
Plus, I think, six. It should be in the middle of the sheet, your attack bonus.
Oh, god damn it. I really should learn more about this.
Yeah, plus six. I'm looking at it. Okay. It's on the Instagram.
Where's it? Where's my attack bonus?
It's right in the middle of the sheet. It says rapier, short bow, claws.
Oh, yeah, gotcha. Yeah, okay, gotcha. So, yeah, so I'm four plus, so 10.
There you go. That's not going to hit. They're fast and they're furious, Jeff. Right. They fly. Some of them fly out of the room, and two of them fly onto you to attack at you. The other two are going for Ned and Copper.
And do I have my full hit points up after resting or?
Yeah, and you're gonna need them because you just got a critical hit. This might end the game.
I'm not against it. I think you should live in a world where art is not permanent. Art is temporary. I die?
I gotta find the dice. We gotta find out. You know, maybe next week we can play Chinese checkers. Which yes. that sounds kind of problematic now.
You know what my new game is Rummy Cube.
What's like that?
It's gin rummy, but with tiles. So that's my new game. That'll be fun podcasting when you and I can play rummy tiles together. That'll be rad.
Is go fish okay, something
so,
you do in that
so
game?
So what you're saying, Spencer, is I took out my rapier as a successful tabaxi swashbuckler, missed everybody, and now I'm about to be killed by four bats?
Yeah, well, two bats. Okay. No, but you didn't get killed. You take 6 damage. So not great.
Not great. Okay. So what kind of damage have I taken? Like, am I bleeding to death, or what's happening?
Well, you were at full, so I don't know what you're at. Maybe you're at 11. So I think if your base is 11, then you should be at like 5.
I'm at 5, yeah.
Yeah. Big Copper and Ned also get hit. They each take 4 damage. So this is not looking great. Okay. So now it's the Big Copper's turn. He's going to try and do a big poisoning.
Do I have any abilities where I can like lend like support, like do I have any of those kind of things where I can like add like team spirit where I can like boost somebody or no?
I'd have to look it up. I think there's a way to help people, but you have to use your action doing that. So if you attack, you can't then help people.
Okay,
but forget it. So Big Copper is going to blast one of these Sturges right in the face with a big blast of poison, and one of them goes down hard, and then Ned is going to slap at one. But he misses. It doesn't work.
Okay.
So
Ned.
3 Sturges, 2 are still on your ass, and one is like sucking you up.
Is one of them Preston Sturges? Because I'm a huge fan.
That's the one that hit you, yeah.
Oh, Preston! I saw you at Stagecoach. What a dick.
Go ahead.
Am I rolling? What's happening?
I was just going to say that the one that hit you is now like its beak is in your body and it's like sucking your blood out. So it's like stuck to you kind of.
Oh, well, I go claw attack on that one fucking for sure. I just fucking kitty claws.
All right. You get an advantage on this because it's not mobile.
So I rolled 6 plus my 6, so that's... No, 9 plus 6, so that's 15 plus whatever advantage.
Oh, that'll hit then, yeah. So now you roll... What's the damages? I think it's 1d4 plus 3, is it? No, it's 1d4 plus 2.
5 total.
All right, you kill it. Oh, boy. Yo! It explodes in blood, which you recognize as your own blood by the way it looks.
Because he had drunk my blood?
Yeah, because he drained like 6 points of your blood.
I'm never buying a Preston Sturges record again, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. Now, let's see if anything else happens.
That happens, I know that.
I'll tell you what. Big Copper gets bit again. He gets bit for 5 more damage, and you don't get bit.
How do you bite a copper person?
That's a good question. He's certainly not getting his blood drained. No. Maybe it's his oil.
His oil, exactly. Okay, whose turn?
The Big Copper puffs another guy with poison, the one that bit him, and he kills that one too. And then Ned's going to go. Oh, Ned lands a wicked slap. He slaps the shit out of one of these Sturges.
So B-Fungus Ned, after watching me use a sword and all sorts of other things, he just bitch slaps a Sturges and then he lands it? Okay,
yeah.
Ned, go get it.
All right, so you feel like the tide of battle is turning and you might be able to finish this with one decisive blow.
That's me?
Yeah.
What's the range, like proximity for me and the remaining bat mosquito Sturges?
So one's kind of still in your area, and the one that Ned slaps about like 15 feet below you because, you know, you're up in the attic and they're not.
Mm-hmm. I'm feeling cocky. I'm feeling pissed off, and I pull out my short bow and I wait until like it's kind of hovering, and I loose a short bow at one of them.
All right,
and that's going to be a 14 dice plus 6 plus whatever.
Oh, that'll hit. Yeah, that'll hit. 14 plus 6.
Yeah, better fucking hit.
So then you roll damage, which is, I think, 1d8 plus 2. No, it's 1d6 plus 2. No, it's 1d6 plus 4.
I rolled a d6 plus 4?
Yep.
I rolled a 6, Jackson. That's an extra 10.
Bam! You blast it right in the its tiny little heart. You pin it to the wall, and it wriggles and shrivels and goes still. And the other one kind of flaps clumsily out of there, still reeling from that wicked slap. You've won this battle, won the war?
So we're safe for now, is what you're saying, Spencer?
Oh yeah, you're safe.
And I turn to Ned, and I turn to the big copper, and I'm not going to pretend that I'm not a little freaked out, because it was a close one.
It was.
And also, yeah. I look at him and I'm like, okay, look, I barely know big copper. I've just met this homeless guy who's wearing mildewed rags. I won't say that I'm proud of us. I will say that was a close one. And and I put my hand toward them, like we're going to do like a little team huddle. And I go, whatever happens from here on out, let's stand behind Ned, because he can bitch slap anything. He's the fucking, he's our point man.
Like, oh, yeah. Big Copper. I'm the leader of this here outfit.
Ned, you are now elected team leader, and wherever you go, we're right behind you. And I mean right behind you, because we really, Big Copper and I, gotta get our shit together. And I'm going to call that a cliffhanger!
Oh, shit. Oh, damn. Thank you so much for coming down to That Happens Town. Oh, boy. Like us on all the socials. You could drop us an email, thathappenspod@gmail.com. Check out our Reddit. What else? What else, Jeff? Oh, the guy who did our music. Shit, what was his name? I think it's Gastonaud. He did the music that we played at the beginning of the show. That was fun. Jeff?
Give it up for Dr. Nut for laying down the fucking impromptu fan fiction slash. Somebody said on Discord that they verified the town. It was Indiana, Pennsylvania. That is exactly what the place was. I'm going straight on TripAdvisor and giving a 5-star review to the Holiday Inn Express in a room. I've never been in a hotel room that didn't have windows. It was like being in a Peruvian jail, except that the food wasn't as good. At least in my Peruvian JSL, I had a nice empanada. Thank you to Kevin Day, our love to Jason, and everyone that knows and is a fan of his work. It's a sad day for the podcasting community, and I do mean that. And it's no fun. You can go on a lighter note. You can go if you want to check out my storytelling Patreon. It's Storytelling with Jeff B. Davis. You can go on Spencer's anti Jeff Davis anti Patreon, whatever that's called. Do we have a name for that yet, Spencer?
I gotta figure it out. It's not up quite yet, but I gotta get it there. I'm also streaming on Twitch at the 6:30. Yes,
for every dollar you spend on Spencer's I Hate Jeff Davis Patreon, I will double it to hate Spencer twice as much. Kevin, any other housekeeping we have to do before we say goodnight?
Nope, but if you're watching this live on StrabHomeVideo.com, coming up next is some of the best of Channel 101, and followed by that is going to be Shock Feature Theater, and unpacking that with Abed tonight. So stick around if you're watching this live. If you're not watching it, check us out next week live at shrobhomevideo.com.
Beautiful. And from the bottom of my heart and Spencer's heart and everybody's hearts, I think I speak for all of us when I say thank you so much for listening and watching in this weird hellscape that we're in. It's very fun to do a podcast and know that there are some people out there enjoying it. I really do appreciate it. And looking forward to the next one. We'll see you soon. Please talk all the trash on Discord you possibly can, and send all of your fan art and fan fiction and horrify Spencer and I into a whatever weird slash relationship that your heart desires. Cheers.
That's right. Go with Kevin, God.
Can we say goodnight?
Goodnight.
Goodnight.